Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Life. Call his wife and hey, 405. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. We got Nico and Fleegs on the other side, and we got you all the way until 5 o'clock. One more hour until the warm-up show at 5. Spent a lot of time on the baseball season, but we spent a lot of time, as we are now rapidly approaching opening day. I cannot wait. It is back. And so is the talk about the Giants quarterback situation. We spent a good portion of the day open with that, as I am gung-ho on getting Shedeur Sanders. If you haven't heard, Marco just told you in the update, yes, we don't have video of it. No, no one can find the audio of it. But it does appear that, speaking to the media yesterday, Shedeur Sanders' father, obviously, said when asked where he wants his son to go, where he expects his son to go in the draft, he said, hopefully it's New York, paraphrasing, because I don't know the exact quote because we haven't heard it. But we've known that the Giants and Shedeur Sanders have been connected for a long time, dating back to his bowl game and prior to the bowl game, having the Giants cleats when the Giants were still the number one pick in the draft. They've gone and visited him a ton, and the Giants desperately need a quarterback in this draft. And now nothing makes me more confident in that than signing of Jameis Winston. Like, Jameis Winston for backup money, I know, and everyone's still trying to tell me, everyone is still trying to tell me that Aaron Rodgers is still a possibility. Whether he wants to be a Giant or not, obviously, has always been the issue. But even after signing Jameis Winston, I find it hard to believe that they would bring in an Aaron Rodgers or even a Russell Wilson, but everyone's telling me the Giants are still in the market for another veteran. I do understand the thought process of bringing in two veteran quarterbacks, whether they can compete or just have two veteran quarterbacks trying to mentor Shedeur Sanders, and that would be some quarterback room, whether it is Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers who they bring in as well. But I'm assuming it's Jameis Winston starting for the New York Giants on day one, but it doesn't matter because they need the quarterback of the future. And when Deion Sanders says that hopefully it's New York, like, I don't think it's a message to the Giants, because I think, they have an idea that about how the Giants feel about Shedeur. Like, I think they have a strong feeling on what the Giants are looking to do. I think they've been on the market, the record before, that they weren't falling down this far. Like, I think they've understood that the Giants would be somewhat interested in Shedeur Sanders. So to me, when out of nowhere, all of a sudden, after downplaying the idea of where he wants to go, or he wouldn't play here, or he wants to play here, suddenly for Deion to say, hopefully it's New York, as we're getting closer to, almost a month away from this draft, like, to me, it's more speaking to Cleveland, as we had, the Ward's throw day yesterday, and he looked good, and everything seems to be pointing to him staying with Tennessee. And I think that's what you're starting to find out. Well, we always find out that the quarterbacks get drafted, right? What was it, a month ago, not a little more than that, where, the owner of the Tennessee Titans came out, we're not going to pass up on generational talent. And week after, which makes you think not the quarterback, because as high as I kind of am on them, higher than most, I still wouldn't call them the generational talents of this draft. That's clearly Hunter and Carter. So when the owner comes out and says, we won't pass on a generational talent, or weeks later when you hear, we're open for business, now all of a sudden everything you hear, as Cam Ward apparently threw the famous Zach Wilson rollout pass down the field as for a bomb that completed, turned right to Tennessee and said, I'm solidifying my position as the number one pick, and everyone got a real chuckle out of it. So, I mean, as we go through this, it feels more and more like Ward's going number one to Tennessee. And as we get closer to the draft, as we always start to feel this way, the quarterback's going to go. And maybe Deion feels that Cleveland is a real possibility to draft Shador. So for me, when you say, hopefully New York, if you are trying to send a message, if it was said, I would think that message is to Cleveland not to draft him. And maybe all the fears or all the thoughts of Sanders and his son playing it a little bit like Eli Manning and playing it a little bit like John Elway all those years ago, where he's making it clear where he wants to be and where he won't go. To me, if that was said, I think it is a message, but it's not to the Giants. And it's not just speaking your mind, because Deion's too tactical to just all of a sudden decide to speak his mind when he hasn't spoken it all this time. And so if I'm reading the tea leaves correct, that he doesn't want to go to Cleveland, well, I'm not the one to sit around and wait. I know, well, hey, they're two great defensive players there. Cleveland to pair with Myles Garrett, who they were able to convince to stay. They could take Hunter to go along with him and have a shutdown corner and someone who can impact the offensive game as a wide receiver. Or they'd take Carter and have another edge rusher. And can you imagine the two of them getting after the quarterback in that division where you have to beat the quarterback, right? Can you imagine them trying to get after a weak offensive line, Cincinnati Bengals, and going to get Joe Burrow with, you know, Carter and Myles Garrett. Or going after Lamar Jackson and having, you know, Myles Garrett being able to get after him while you use, Carter as a spy or whatever the case may be. Like, yeah, that sounds great, but it also sounds like at any moment they could turn to the rest of the league and say, you know, as if the message is sent to me, the message is sent to the rest of the league, maybe the number two spot is open if Cleveland understands the quarterback's not going to go. Like, to me, I don't sit around and wait. If I'm the New York Giants, I was gung-ho on trading up to number one, and if that's ever a possibility, I would still be all into that. But I don't want to sit around and wait and see if Cleveland gets someone to call them up for the quarterback and blow their socks off with a deal where they can move back. They had a chance to do it with Myles Garrett, chose to convince him to stay. Maybe now they see another opportunity to get a bunch of picks to move back and allow someone to move up to second and draft their franchise quarterback. Like, if I'm the New York Giants, I'm on the phone with Cleveland. I want that second pick. I want Shador Sanders. I'm not waiting for it. I'm not taking a chance. Someone does what the Eagles did to them a few years ago, jump up in front of them and take Devontae Smith, where their answer is to trade back and draft Tony. Like, I don't want to do that. The Giants need the quarterback. Shador Sanders, to me, turned around two college programs, has dealt with poor offensive line play, is an accurate throw of the football, maybe not the strongest arm, but an accurate throw of the football. I do think he's poised. I think he's dealt with being in the spotlight as Deion Sanders' son. I think he's had money. He's made money with the NILs. He grew up with some money. Like, I think New York, the spotlight, the pressure, I think he's as built for it as any other quarterback in this draft. And if the Giants feel as such, I don't think they should wait at three, move up, call Cleveland. We talked about it before. The Bears, when moving up with the 49ers, gave up two number threes and a four. If they don't have to give up another number one and they don't have to give up this year's number two, I am all over that trade. I am moving up and securing myself the quarterback I believe in. That's what the New York Giants should do. You have, obviously, the quarterback you've already signed in Jameis Winston. You go about attacking the offense, throwing the ball down the field, trying to get Malik Nabers involved, trying to get him more passes, more big plays down the field, kind of develop him along with Slayton's speed and his ability of knowing this wide receiver, you know, the route tree as well as he does. You could have the shiftiness of the other wide receivers, Wandell Robinson, Theo Johnson is a tight end prospect. You go about attacking, building this offense while you let Shedeur Sanders sit for a long time. You move up to get him, and you have the future of your franchise set up. That's what the New York Giants should do. And if they're sending a message to Cleveland, the Giants should take it, trade up, and don't allow anybody to step up in front of him and take this quarterback. Let's go to Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
There's two things. I'll start with the Giants first. I feel like that's a panic move. Take a deep breath. Just because the owner said this is you got a gun to your head or you get to the playoffs, you got it. Not panic.
No, it's not panicking.
Three, people will be knocking on our door.
For what?
What happens if they pick? What happens if Ward comes and he gets two? Then we have Sanders at three if they pick Hunter first.
Of course. There's a chance.
Why not take a deep breath and wait for
because what if he's not there?
If he's not there, you pick someone else. You want
why?
You're panicking.
It's not panicking. I want the quarterback. It's not panicking. Right. I want the quarterback.
All right. I do, too. But listen to me. I feel like that's a panic move. And then the other thing you were talking about, Mookie Betts, there was a substance that those two punks in the outfield, when they were grabbing the ball from, I believe one of them put a substance.
Oh, stop.
Mookie Betts is, no, I'm kidding.
I know. I don't even want to go down that road with you.
Can you imagine that? But listen, that's bad because they don't know what's wrong. And he's been to the best hospitals in the world.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, the amount of weight he's losing at the rate he's losing it, and the inability to keep down food and everything he's going through. I mean, the quote I saw is, "I feel like my body is eating itself." That's scary.
Let me tell you something, Susan. It looked like a foreign substance. Let me tell you. Yeah, it could be a foreign substance.
You're not going to let it go, are you, Maury? You're not going to let that one go.
It's really hard.
You came up with it that the guy from the stands has poisoned him, and you're not going to let it go.
And then they went to stands.
And then they went to stands after. That's right. And then they went to stands after being thrown out of the stands. The wordplay is unbelievable. Congratulations, Maury. No, I hear you. And thank you for the call. And tonight is your night, bro. It's not a panic move to go get your quarterback. That is not a panic move. That's what franchises do. I don't want to risk him being there at three. I don't want to risk him rather not being there at three. I don't. And it's moving up one spot. Like, I think, you know, if he's not there, don't take him. Okay, great. I want the quarterback. They need to move forward. This group, it's not a panic move with this particular thing. Like, I understand, how do they save their jobs, right? It's to do things to save their jobs. So you got to, because the owner wants wins or to feel better, so you got to do something, right? So they go get Jameis Winston. Like, is that a panic move for $4 million? It wasn't a panic move. You now have the veteran. Go get the quarterback. Go get the best quarterback in the draft that you believe in. That's it. It's not about a panic move. The New York Giants are a franchise without a quarterback of the future. They are drafting third. I know it's happened so often that we just assume it's going to happen next year and the year after and the year after, and they'll always have a chance at one of these quarterbacks. And this isn't the best of drafts. Next year might have Archie Manning in it. So let's just wait until next year to draft a quarterback. What's the problem, Chris? It's not like they're winning the Super Bowl this year anyway, which, again, if I hear that, I'm going to throw up. Who knows what position they're in next year? Who knows? I can't wait for next year. They're a lousy team. They won three games. They don't have a franchise quarterback on the roster, and they're drafting third. There's only one thing to do when you're in that position. It's not panic. It's logic. You have to get your franchise quarterback. Now, if you want to tell me you prefer other quarterbacks that you can get later in the draft, all right, are you sure about that? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people who felt like they could get Michael Penix Jr. later in the draft, or they could get Bo Nix later in the draft. I have no idea when it comes to quarterbacks. We have none. These guys go off the board. Why? Because everyone panics? No, no, no. Because the quarterback is the most important position in all of sports. In all of sports. So when you don't have one, you have to go get one. Now, this is all predicated on how the Giants feel about Shedeur Sanders. I agree with you. If they like another quarterback better, maybe they then certainly wait in three, because I don't think any other quarterback is going to. And either take them three, and honestly, I'm not kidding when I tell you this, right? We might all feel, I know Daniel Jones was the same thing. To me, Daniel Jones was a different situation. I didn't think, you know, Brian Daboll was as good as Pat Shurmur was as an offensive coach and is as an offensive coach. Brian Daboll uniquely develops quarterbacks. Like, that's how I feel about him. That's what I think about him. And they've been brought back to do this exact thing. They were hired because they did it in Buffalo, and they were brought back this last year to go and finally do it. So to me, like, it's whatever quarterback they want. So I know Daniel Jones was taken too high. Daniel Jones wasn't taken too high. Daniel Jones was just the wrong guy. I don't mess around. So if at three they take Jackson Dart, you're going to see a big smile on my face. If at three they take Milrow, I'm going to think, wow, you probably could have got him later. I don't give a damn. Do you think he was the best quarterback available at that pick? And you think he's a franchise guy? Then you take him. If they take a quarterback three, it doesn't matter which one. I will be excited about it because it means Shane and Daboll believe him to be the guy. But if they believe that Shedeur Sanders is the guy, that could take moving up to two. I think you have to investigate in whether or not Cleveland's willing to move that pick. And if you find the deal serviceable and satisfactory, I think you have to do it, because I don't know who's going to come calling and offering them a significant package for that quarterback. We just don't know. It's easy to sit back and go, no one's going to do that. No one's going to do that. No one's going to do that. Okay. And maybe he's there at three. I hope he is. But maybe Cleveland takes him and says, hey, I just convinced Myles Garrett to stay. I'll convince Deion Sanders to be happy too. They do need a quarterback. The Giants need the quarterback. We could talk all day about who the other veteran is. Maybe they get Aaron Rodgers. Maybe they get this. And this is all predicated on the idea they don't know about the draft. This is why you're still hearing about a second veteran. This is why you're still hearing about Russell Wilson. This is why you're still hearing about Aaron Rodgers. This is why you heard about a possible trade for Matthew Stafford. Because they are sitting third in a two-quarterback draft. That is why we're hearing all about this. Because they can't guarantee themselves that quarterback. Because of a stupid win against the Colts. So now they're sticking their face up against the glass. They're pressing their nose up against the glass. And if Cleveland has the inclination that the quarterback isn't going to go there, or isn't going to be happy going there, or there's an issue, even after all the stuff, right? He plays Madden with the Cleveland Browns or whatever else. I'm just curious, why would Deion Sanders say that yesterday? Why would he say it yesterday? And if he wants to be a Giant, you got to make it happen.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
There we go. A time when the Giants knew exactly who they wanted to be their quarterback, and they made it happen. That's what we need again. We need that kind of franchise changer. Hopefully it's Shedeur Sanders. I was just reading a mock draft now that has the Giants losing out on Sanders as he would go second, which is a nightmare. And then trading back into the first round with the Vikings to draft Jackson Dart. Now, again, that would make me happy. If they can get a great defensive player with the third pick, move back into the first round and get Jackson Dart, I mean, I'd feel okay about it. I don't know how they feel about Jackson Dart. I do think that they have a legitimate guy in Winston who makes sense to play for a full year. I'm willing to play Winston for a full year. and give Jackson Dart as much time as it takes to transition from his college offense at Ole Miss that, you know, many people think is not a pro offense, or that he was asked so little. You know, he was asked to really just give one read or cut the field in half and be on the move. But a full season to learn this offense with Brian Daboll coaching it while Jameis Winston and or more veteran quarterbacks are there for the season, I could live with it. I can live with it. But for me, it depends on how they feel. If they believe in Shedeur Sanders, and they've given you a lot of reasons to believe they do, then I'm not letting Cleveland draft him. I'm not letting someone else jump in front of him. I'm going to get him. And maybe this just spurns Cleveland to be willing to make the trade. And why not make it one spot down? If you think Shedeur Sanders doesn't want to be there, you're not going to take him anyway. Trade with the Giants, move one down, and take whoever you're going to take at number two anyway and acquire more picks. 888-808-1019. Brett in Long Island's on the line. What's up, Brett?
Hey, Chris. I had to get something off my chest that's been really bothering me. Mm-hmm. I've had trouble sleeping the last couple of weeks. I never called you a lying bastard. I said you were lying through your teeth about Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think you're full of crap. What about Saquon Barkley?
Yes.
I want to know your thought process. Were you happy when he left? And then were you happy that he literally did stuff over there that now we got to deal with as Giant fans, which you claim to be, for the rest of our lives? And when he won a Super Bowl.
The rest of our lives.
And they were chanting, thank you, Giants.
Yes.
Yeah, well, in the living online social media groups, that's the laughing point now. For you think that's going to go away? Yeah, okay. Were you happy about it? Are you happy for him? Yes or no? You got time to think about it.
Yeah, no. Happy. Well, listen, I do think it's a different situation. But yes, happy for him. Yes, I was happy for him. He's a good dude. You saw what happened in the parade, taking like one of the clubhouse guys over the fence and bringing him back in. Saquon Barkley's a great guy who wanted to be a Giant. It didn't work out. I had no problem moving on from him. I still don't. I wish it wasn't the Eagles, but it was. I would have traded him the year before and tried to send him to Houston, or I would have traded for him. I would have traded him away mid-season the year before and tried to lose the last handful of games down the stretch of the season and get rid of Saquon Barkley. They didn't.
I just want to know if you were happy for him.
Yes,
I
was happy for him.
Chris.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
I'm not answering your question satisfactorily enough for you?
No. I was thinking two things when he went there right away. One, I was hoping he would fumble the ball a lot. And two, I was hoping he would twist his ankle. That's all.
Yeah,
Am I wrong? You tell me.
I was hoping he would.
The same thing with Juan Soto. How could you be happy? All right, here you go. If the Mets win back-to-back World Series.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. And the Yankees missed the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Fire Boone and Cashman. Are you still going to be, hey, you know what? I'm happy for the Mets, man. They need this. I'm happy for Juan Soto. Are you really, Chris?
Yeah. Because I'm just telling you, first of all, it's different.
He's back you in a corner, but everybody thinks you're wrong on that. Go ahead. All right, go ahead. I'll shut up.
You're impossible to deal with sometimes, Brett. Like, I'm not saying, like, first of all, he left. The Yankees did everything they could to try to keep him. He left. So I'm not going to sit and cry about it. He's a Met. They're not in the same division like the Eagles are with Saquon Barkley. They're in the National League. I understand if he goes there. What am I supposed to do? Sit around and hope he fails? I don't care. If the Yankees don't win the World Series,
I don't care.
Enough. Let me talk.
Two different things.
Enough. Let me talk.
Okay.
Let me talk. If the Yankees don't win the World Series, I don't care who does. You can believe that or not. I don't care. I'll be happy for the Mets and their fan base if they win the World Series. You could believe that or not. I'll be rooting for it. If they're playing anyone but the Yankees, I have no problem with the Mets losing the World Series, winning the World Series. Now, if they beat the Yankees, then I start to have a problem with it. Other than that, I honestly do not care.
What if it was Judge? Why wasn't it Judge?
Judge is a homegrown Yankee. But then I would feel differently about it. Soto, yes, I suppose.
If it was Judge and we lost him anyway,
why do we care how I feel about this? What does that have to do with what happens on the field?
Because this is what we do. You said it. We talk back and forth about everything. And I still can't wrap my head around
Who
it.
Who cares? You don't everybody have to wrap your head around how I feel. How I feel is how I feel. Yeah. If I sat around all day trying to wrap my head around the way you feel, I'd drive myself freaking crazy. If I sat around all day and wrapped my mind around the way you handle friendships and the way you handle social media groups and the way you handle sports phone calls, I would lose my freaking mind. So don't worry about trying to wrap your mind around the way I feel. I feel the way I feel. You feel the way you feel.
Maybe it'll help my thought process.
It won't help you.
You're getting on me. Maybe you'll help me. I'm wondering. So this year, again, are you going to be happy for Saquon when you see him because he's a good guy? And if they win again and the Giants win 4 or 5 games, again, are we happy?
Yeah,
I just want to know what to do.
Yeah, because I don't correlate them. Yeah. I don't correlate them. Yeah, I really don't. I don't think Saquon Barkley was a Giant for 6 years. How much winning did they do? The Eagles were in the Super Bowl without him, won the Super Bowl a handful of years ago with a backup quarterback without him. They have the best GM in sports, are one of the best run franchises in all of sports, and they're going to be good with him, they're going to be good without him. He didn't do anything in the Super Bowl. They won the game without him.
Why didn't he tell his fan base, "I want to be a Giant"? Straight up said, The Giants offered him a similar contract 2 years before the deadline. Yeah. So I feel it was pretty similar, just to guarantee money.
So you want him, to get hurt.
The position was devalued then, you know that.
So you want to root for him to get hurt? You want to root for him to get hurt?
When he was playing and the Giants were terrible and they were winning and he's smiling and all the Eagles fans on the groups were laughing at us, if he twisted his ankle hurtling over somebody backwards, I don't know. Me and you were different.
I don't root for injury.
You were probably a guy like calling all your friends, "Wow, did you see that play? Oh my God."
No, I wasn't. Because we saw it with the Giants.
Son, a Saquon jersey from the Giants now?
Listen, we saw it with the... We forget about my son in the jerseys. Enough of
it. Not your son. I said my son. Yeah. Should I give my son, who's 5?
Yeah, if he asked for it, yeah. Your son who's 5, yes. If he asked for a Saquon Barkley jersey, yeah, why not? My son was an Eagle for his football team. I didn't make him take the jersey off when he wore it around school. Just stop. And no, I don't root for anyone to get hurt. And I hope the Eagles lose every game, but I can't sit around like being mad about they're not going to lose every game. Saquon Barkley didn't have to be there. I watched Boston Scott stick it to me on a weekly basis. He scored a touchdown every single game. They went to the Super Bowl with Miles Sanders. I'm just saying. And honestly, Juan Soto left. I'm not going to root for him to be hurt like you. I'm not going to root for him to tweak an ankle. I hope he's healthy. I hope he has a great year. I hope he makes it to the World Series, and then I hope he gets beat by the Yankees. That's what I hope. And if he gets to the World Series and he's playing the Houston Astros, or he's playing the Boston Red Sox, or he's playing the Texas Rangers, or he's playing the Minnesota Twins, I will root for the Mets. Believe that or not, I don't care. Why would I want the Mets to lose? Why? Because again, I always joke about it, because Ted in accounting is going to hit me with it. Like, I don't care. I really don't care. I don't begrudge people happiness. I hate the teams that beat me. And if the Mets beat them in the World Series, I will feel different. I fully acknowledge that. I will not be happy for the Mets if they beat the Yankees in the World Series. That's where I draw the line. If they beat anybody else in the World Series, I won't care. I'll be happy for the Mets. I'll be happy for he did everything he could while he was here to try and help the Yankees win the World Series. He did everything he could. Then he left for whatever reason, and I'm tired of trying to figure out what reason that was. He left, and I wish him the best. I honestly do. I don't care. Life's too short to begrudge millionaires what they do on the field. It is what it is. I'm rooting for the Yankees. I'm hoping the Yankees are actually better from it. And if they go on to win a bunch of World Series and the Yankees go into oblivion, that's far deeper than just Juan Soto going to the Mets. A million other things would have to happen for that to take place. So I don't know what you want me to do. You want me to root against Juan Soto? I don't, and I'm not full of crap, believe me or not. I've said this a bunch of times. Are there days where the Yankees blow a 4-run lead in the ninth and have a heartbreaking loss to the Red Sox, and I'll root for misery from everybody? Yeah, I'm not above that. Like, who wants, like, one, if the Yankees lose a miserable game like that, then I turn on the Met game. I'm hoping they lose because I'm just rooting for misery because I'm in a miserable mood. That happens occasionally. But for the most part, like right now, honest to God, I hope the Mets are in the World Series. I honestly do. If they're not and they finish in last place, will I have some fun with the Met fans who constantly, you know, hit me up on Twitter and brag and say, you know, tell me I'm an idiot and the Yankees are terrible and, you know, it's a Met town and everything? Will I have fun with those people? Yes, because that's what we do here. Will I come on air and be sarcastic and have a little fun at the Met fan expense? Yes. And will it be disingenuous? No, I'll honestly feel that way. But I'd rather them be really good talking about another NLCS against the Dodgers and getting into those games and watching meaningful playoff games. I'd rather have that than be able to dunk on some Met fans while they're floundering in August and no one gives a damn. You think I'd prefer that? I don't. I wouldn't. Rich in Manhattan. What's up, Rich?
Hey, listen, I just want to talk about drafting in general. Doesn't matter what the sport is.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned Arch Manning, right? Okay, it's Arch, not Archie. Remember
I'm,
that?
I'm very sorry. Did I say Archie? I thought I said Arch, but...
Yeah, you said Archie. Everyone says Archie, but it's Arch.
Well, anyway. Maybe I was also talking about him and the Eli situation when I said Archie, so...
Oh, okay. Well, here's something I want to bring back from the historical point. All right. The year that Larry Bird was drafted by the Celtics,
a fan
went up to Red Auerbach and said, "Red, why did you draft this guy when you won't have him for another year?" And Red said, "Do you know how quickly a year goes by? Now, you're a Giant fan, right? You've been a Giant fan a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be a Giant fan the rest of your life, probably.
Probably. Right? Unless I'm Fliegelman.
Now, not all quarterbacks that are rated number one in their year are franchise quarterbacks.
Correct.
We could talk about Marcus Mariota. We could talk about Matt
Jameis Winston was Mariota's.
Jameis Winston, whatever.
Yeah, no, it's a factual statement.
These guys are not Andrew Luck.
Correct.
They're not John Elway.
Well, I mean, not everyone is, but yes, correct.
No, but most quarterbacks are not going to be.
Yeah,
but my main point is this: these scouts, they know 3 years in advance at each position who's coming and when they're coming. Now, if there's someone that's going to be there, let's say the Giants improve somewhat with Jameis, and then there's a better quarterback that might be the third best quarterback next year, and he's available with the 10th pick, but he's thought of more as a starter than the guys from this year. Because I think that most of them for this year aren't that good, except for the guy from Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's really good, but I don't think he's first round.
What's your point?
My point is that we have to demystify the whole thing about the quarterback must go first. You need guys to block for the quarterback.
Right.
I think that's a lot. Do you think the Giants have other needs other than quarterback?
Of course they have other needs other than quarterback. They're just not as important. Do they have a quarterback is the first question, and if the answer is no, I don't care about the second question.
But you have Jameis Winston to be a gap.
Yeah, I'm not going to win with him. I'm not looking. I'm in a position right now. You just said next year you could have the third best quarterback and, you know, pick him with the 10th pick. Right. Do I know that the third best quarterback in a top-heavy draft gets to the 10th pick? I have no idea. I'll have or who moves up to get a quarterback. Like, I can't take the chance that next year, there's three guys I like next year, so he'll be there next. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. You're in a position right now, and I'll tell you this right now. If the New York Giants selects Shedeur Sanders, right? And they go with Jameis Winston, and they get him in the room, and they get him in the building, and they find out he's not as good as they thought, and they have the 10th pick next year, we'll then take the quarterback again next year. And if that guy, they get in the room, and they work with him, and they find out he's not as good as they thought, and then they have the 7th pick next year after that, and there's a quarterback there they believe in at 7, then they should take him. And if they get that guy in the room, and they work with him, and they have a full year with him, and they don't think that he is the kind of quarterback, and they're drafting 5th the next year, well, then you take the quarterback that you feel is best the next year in 5th. And then if you get that guy in the room and you work with him for a full year, you get my point. You get my point. There's other ways. There's free agency. There's all the other picks in the draft. You don't have to, like, you know, you're going to still be able to build an offensive line. They took an offensive lineman first in the first round in Joe Shane's best, in his first draft with Evan Neal. How did that go? They've taken an offensive lineman first in the first round and a top 10 pick in Ereck Flowers. How did that go? Like, yeah, you need someone to block for him. That's not the only way. You want to go through the Giants' offensive line of the 2007, 2008, 2009 team that was arguably the best offensive line in football for a time? Other than Chris Snee, where did they get the other? Sean O'Hara, Rich Soibert. Like, you can find guys who can block. You don't have to do it with the top of the draft. It's a different thing. It's a cohesive thing. I need the quarterback. I need the quarterback. And sure, you can get lucky and find a quarterback in the 4th round. You could find the Tom Brady's of the world, and you could find the Mr. Irrelevance of the world. Like, yeah, okay, they come around once a generation. The best quarterbacks in the league are drafted at the top of the draft. That's where they are. And if you told me that next year they'll be in a position to draft a far superior quarterback, well, then sure, I'd wait a year. Why not? Makes sense to me. Play Jameis Winston. Be bad next year. The greatest quarterback that the league has ever seen is coming out, and the Giants will be there to get him. Great, I'll wait the year. But I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have a crystal ball. And I'll tell you what, as I just said before, and I know I got, you know, stupid with it and went too long with it, but like, if the Giants draft Shedeur Sanders and then next year are miserable because they lost all these games with a tough schedule and not a great roster and Jameis Winston unable to be delivered from pick sixes, and they're at the top of the draft and Arch Manning comes out and he is a can't-miss stud quarterback, then I'm definitely drafting him. I don't stop. I don't stop till I get enough. I don't stop till I find him. And I am a firm believer of that. I'm not saying it's the only way to build a team. There's other ways to go about it, but to me, there's one question when you're looking at the roster. First, you got to find out who your GM is, who your head coach is, but then when you're looking at the roster, there's a myriad of questions, a bunch of questions, fine, but the first one is, do you have a quarterback? And if the answer is no, I don't ask question number two until I answer question number one. That's how I feel. It's how I've always felt. When I look around the league, I certainly feel that way. When I look at what's just happened with Washington and what's happened with the Texans, that's how I feel. I don't have a quarterback. I better find one. Then I'll worry about the offensive line. Then I'll worry about this. Then I'll worry about that. I don't have time for this or that. I need the quarterback.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Full windup by Simmons. And a swing on him high in the air. Deep to center field, way back it may go. Gone! A grand slam! A grand slam! Mike Piazza!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
So the problem with what the last caller just said, like, well, you need guys to block for him, right? Of course you need guys to block for him. Like, yeah, that goes without saying. But, like, the Giants have a bunch. Like, the top pick is not the only way to do it. And, again, the Giants' offensive line in 2008 was the best offensive line in football. They were a dominant offensive line. And, you know, their names we all know. And I'm just telling you right now, like, David Deal, 5th-round pick. Rich Soibert, undrafted. Sean O'Hara, undrafted. Chris Snee, the one guy who was drafted somewhat high, 34th pick overall, 2nd round. Kareem McKenzie, drafted by the Jets in the 3rd round. So, 5th round, undrafted, 2nd round, 3rd round. And that's the best offensive line in football. Has two undrafted people in it. And it's the best offensive line the Giants have ever had. I mean, now go around the NFL and find me the quarterbacks who are undrafted and really good. Tommy DeVito? I'm just saying. And they've done this. Will Hernandez was the top of the second round pick. Evan Neal. Eric Flowers. Weston Richburg. Like, Pugh. Like, the idea the Giants haven't tried to find people to block is just not true. They've been trying. You gotta coach them up better. They've got Andrew Thomas. Illuminor's been good. They signed a bunch of interior offensive linemen for depth pieces. We'll see if one of them stick. You gotta coach it up. Like, you can find everything you need. It doesn't have to be with the first pick in the draft. That can be when it's three. That can be saved and valued for the quarterback when you don't have one. Like, the idea we're constantly talking about offensive line, you need other things. Of course they need other things. I actually think they're not as far off as people think, though. They've just fixed the defensive backfield, or at least we hope so, with signing a safety, the best safety on the market and the best cornerback on the market, plus two kids who showed a lot last year that they drafted in Phillips and Tyler Newbin, who had really promising years. Now they're not going to, Banks is not going to have to be a number one corner. You're going to be able to, use Andrew Phillips and Newbin in less impactful ways or less pressurized situations. You can have maybe, Newbin is like a strictly nickel guy. Like, you'll be able to do things like that. You've got the young tight end. You've got the stud wide receiver. You signed Slayton, who's very familiar with the offense and is a good guy in the room. I believe you can get more out of Wandell Robinson than what you've been getting. The young running back, Tracy, was arguably the second best rookie running back in the league. Like, I think they have some talent. Defensively, they don't have much depth at the defensive tackle position, but they have the best defensive tackle in the sport. They've got Burns and Thibodeau who can, get after the quarterback. Burns pretty damn well. Thibodeau, fairly well. Not good enough for his draft position, but a serviceable player. I'm like, I don't think they're that far off. Let's get a veteran quarterback in there, which they already have in Jameis Winston, and go about trying to win some games while you draft the young quarterback that you're getting ready to move forward with. Like, it's not hard. And again, the only thing is how you feel about Sanders, how the Giants feel about Sanders, what we think. Like, because I was just reading an article now about, do you think what Sanders says sounds like someone who doesn't believe that his son is going first or second and is hoping the Giants? Like, I don't view it that way. Like, I don't think they would show weakness like that. I don't think after all this time, like, Deion Sanders would say, hopefully it's the Giants, because if it's not the Giants, well, I don't know where he's going to go. Like, that doesn't sound like a Deion Sanders type comment. It just doesn't. I don't know if it could read like that. Like, oh, hey, listen, hopefully it's the Giants, or otherwise I don't know where he'll go. Like, that, the Raiders have already brought in Geno Smith. I don't know if the Jets would take him. Like, how far? I don't want another Aaron Rodgers situation. Like, I don't think Deion Sanders would go that way. To me, it sounds more of like, hey, hopefully it's the Giants because I don't want it to be Cleveland. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm looking into it. Either way, if I'm the Giants and I want Shedeur Sanders, I'm looking to move up because I don't know who else wants him or who else is willing to move up or what Cleveland's going to do. That's where I stand on it. They need the quarterback, and you can't wait for next year and push things back. It's just, it's a losing game. Because you don't know where you'll be. That was the plan, right? All right, when they came in. I know they drafted and developed Josh Allen, and that's why we're hiring them. But we do have Daniel Jones, and let's be fair. We've been really unfair to that kid. And we've done him a disservice. So let's make sure let's get the best out of Daniel Jones before we make any decisions. And I'm sure Brian Daboll and Joe Shane were thinking, well, I don't know. We'll probably lose, and I'll be able to draft a quarterback next year. And then what happened? They didn't lose. amazingly enough. And they weren't drafting in a position to get the quarterback, and they felt like they had no choice but to pay Daniel Jones. And there is the problem. There is why the Giants are where they are. So I'm not playing that game. Right? I'm not letting Jameis Winston sling it in Brian Daboll's offense, actually have some productive quarterback play, maybe get lucky and win 9 or 10 games somehow by some miracle, and then not be in a position and what? And then what? Go with Jameis Winston another year? Well, if you won 9 or 10 games, sure, why not? Well, we saw how that worked with Daniel Jones. I don't know. All I know is they better figure this thing out because I'm tired of losing. They're making me, you know, I'm getting closer and closer to Brett every day. I don't want it. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. We got a 5-hour midnight ride coming up tomorrow morning as we get closer and closer to baseball. We'll start doing some more baseball as we get ready for opening day on Thursday. I'll be in for Keith on Wednesday night, so you're going to get a heck of a lot of me over the next 24 hours. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Nico, good job. Fliegelman, thank you, sir. The warm-up show is next. Again, I'll catch you for a 5-hour midnight ride. Enjoy the rest of your day. And get ready for baseball because it's coming. Enjoy the rest of your day. Stick with the Fan here all day until midnight when I'll be back. Everybody, until then, have a great day. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.